complete dependence upon our Lord to help us. I'd ask your prayerful attention this afternoon to a text we will find in Psalm 105 and verse 19. Psalm 105 and verse 19. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. Reading from verse 17. He, that is God, sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. This morning, dear friends, we noted how much Scripture speaks of the trials of faith. Not to destroy the faith, but to prove that it is real faith, God-given faith. To believe upon God and upon Christ. As Jesus said to his disciples, ye believe in God, believe also in me. And dear friends, what a favour, there's no greater favour that we can receive whilst we journey upon this earth than to be given believing faith in Jesus and in God. There are multitudes, and have been since the beginning of time, who have not believed in God, subject to unbelief and the power of Satan all their days. And dear friends, there but for the grace of God go you and I. No wonder the scripture says, in everything give thanks. Where we have been brought to know the difference between just a life of existence upon this earth and a life of existence upon this earth with a good hope of eternal life. All we can say then is, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And we find these characters, these children of God, are throughout the scriptures. They didn't enjoy ease of life at all times. They didn't suffer afflictions at all times. But they pass through many changing scenes. And so do you, and so do I, and so do all people. But dear friends, if the changing scene is the trial of faith, where we have once known prosperity and now adversity, then may it be for the fear of God to bring us more subject unto his ways and to his will. For they that have no changes fear not God, the scripture tells us. Oh dear friends, may we, the Lord, help us to search our hearts. How stands the case with us? Is the fear of the Lord within us as we seek to trust in Christ, in his holy word, and to tremble when we fail so often and fall into sin and doubts and fears and unbelief. When faith seems to be in us, hardly in existence. How urgent is that prayer of the disciples, Lord, increase our faith. Now, dear friends, if the Lord is to increase our faith, that faith is not going to be increased through ease and through comfort and through an earthly prosperity when everything goes well and we're walking, as it were, upon the mountaintops. The trying of our faith to increase our faith is going to come when we can trust in nothing else but the grace of God, the mercy of God. Our undeserved mercy of God. That brings us humbly, prostrate at his feet, crying out for another tokens of his love, the forgiveness of our many sins, our guilt, and to by faith feed upon that precious bread of heaven, the sacrifice for sin. To drink spiritually of that shed blood, to put within us strength and joy, knowing that nothing can separate us from our God. Joseph, I believe, is a wonderful example of such a child of God. We note he was born to a woman who until that time was barren. And sister Leah had several children by Jacob. And so did the concubines. But Rachel had no children. Now Rachel was not like Hannah. Hannah who prayed from the depths of her heart for the Lord to give her a man-child. Rachel blamed Jacob. She chided with him, give me a child. We do not find any prayer with her. And yet, dear friends, as such, a one does not hinder the work of God where he would have it to be. She was the beloved wife of Jacob. And the Lord gave her a son in his time. And as we find throughout Scripture, where one was barren and then had a child, the child of that woman was one ordained by God to be used for his purpose. And so it was with Joseph. He was a chosen vessel of the Lord's mercy. In his early days, we find that there were many things which could have been better, because he was a favourite of his father, the son of his old age, the son of his beloved wife, Rachel. And he favoured Joseph with that coat of many colours, which he never gave to any of his other sons. Joseph, when he was in the field with his brethren, came back and reported their bad deeds, how they behaved to his father. In other words, telling tales, we might say. And so his brothers hated him. But everything was in the Lord's hand. All this was working together for the Lord's divine purpose. You know, dear friends, when things happen in the life of one who is the Lord's, a vessel of the Lord's mercy, even though it seems so contrary to their good and for the furtherance of anything that is the glory of God, it is yet in the hands and will of God. Joseph had those dreams. which seemed as if the interpretation was that his brothers would bow down to him. And also the second dream regarding the sun and the moon and the 11 stars. Jacob rebuked his son Joseph, but he kept it the same in his heart. Just as Mary did concerning the things of Jesus, kept all those sayings in her heart. She couldn't understand them. And Jacob couldn't understand these dreams which Joseph had had. But it was the word of the Lord to Joseph. It was almost like an indication, a prophecy, a promise that this would come to pass. And his brethren hated him more and more for it. And so at the first opportunity they sought to be rid of him. As we read, when he went to find them at his father's command, which is all ordained of God, nothing happens by chance, finding that one who directed them to Shechem where they were. Dear friends, the stripping him of his robe, putting him in the pit, thinking if they might kill him, seeing the Ishmaelites. Oh, we'll sell him as a slave to the Ishmaelites. That will be rid of him. And so their intention was fulfilled. But what do we read here in this verse 17 of Psalm 105? He, God, sent a man before them, even Joseph, sent them into Egypt. God's hand, dear friends, is in everything which we just cannot understand. As we've just sung in that hymn, God moves in a mysterious way. His wonders to perform, and he still does. You know, these accounts are left on record for us, aren't they? That we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. The difficulties and troubles and circumstances which may come upon us from time to time in our lives. Perhaps we can look back. Years gone by, or perhaps not many years, not many months or weeks gone by, and things were so much easier. There were times of prosperity. And then something comes to pass, suddenly, unexpectedly. It comes into a time of adversity, a time of troubles and concerns, and are we outside of the will and the purpose and the hand of God? No. Oh, we're exhorted, aren't we, to trust in him at all times. We read in that Genesis chapter 39, Joseph was brought down to Egypt and he was bought by Potiphar, an officer of the Pharaoh. So we bought him from the Ishmaelites. And then that second verse, and the Lord was with Joseph. You say, how can the Lord be with Joseph under a circumstance like that? It would have been comfortable to have travelled all the way from Canaan down into Egypt and to be sold as a slave, separated from his families, his father especially, and separated from those brothers through which the word of the Lord had come to him, that they would fall down before him. Until now he had fallen before them. But dear friends, this is the word, isn't it? And the Lord was with Joseph. Think of us, it's in Psalm 119, isn't it? The prayer of the psalmist, Lord, remember the word upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in mine affliction. Thy word hath quickened me. Dear friends, I believe Joseph was a true believer in God. His behaviour testifies of the Spirit of God within him. And although all these things had gone against him, And he could not understand why he should be where he was now. A slave, a servant to an Egyptian. Dear friends, that word must have still maintained a hope within him by faith. By faith. The word of the Lord tried him. And dear friends, in trying him, it proved him that he was a child of God for the purpose of God. We learn a lesson from Joseph, don't we? That in these trying times, when everything seemed to be against him, he conducted himself wisely. He didn't rebel. He conducted himself in the tender fear of the Lord, doing that which was asked of him, doing it well, submitting himself to his earthly master. And his earthly master, knowing all the things prospered under Joseph's hand, because the Lord was with him, he favoured Joseph and made him the ruler of his house. Dear friend, you could say in one sense, earthly, this was a time of prosperity. A time of office. A time of importance. But dear friends, it wasn't the time of the fulfilling of the word of the Lord. How that word of the Lord must have tried him. There's another psalm of David, isn't it? It's in that lovely Psalm 18, which is a repeat of the second of Samuel, chapter 22. Where David says, concerning the way of the Lord, as for the Lord, his way is perfect. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. The word of the Lord is tried. Dear friends, if you've had a promise, a word from the Lord, then be sure it will be tried. Tried in such a way that will increase your faith in due time, where you will praise the Lord more than what you've praised him before. His ways are past finding out. Oh, dear friends, how this. These accounts and these testimonies, they're for our learning and for our comfort, that we can commit our way unto the Lord, whatever it is, trusting in him to bring to pass what is for our spiritual good, that we are not tempted above what we are able, but for him to make that way to escape, that we are able to bear it. Joseph acted himself, behaved himself wisely, and yet he was not yet near without a temptation. For the wife of Potiphar wanted to have him for herself, for Joseph to commit adultery. And Joseph said everything had been put into his hand, but not her. She was the wife of his master, Potiphar. And this wicked, scheming woman, when he escaped out of her hand, told those lies about him which her master believed. Oh, and she got the evidence, his coat which he'd left behind when he fled from her. And she interpreted, turning it about into a lie concerning what he came to do. Dear friends, we often say, as we look upon circumstances in our lives, how can this be of the good hand of God? For Joseph now came into prison. And it is with our case sometimes, isn't it, when we're in difficulties and troubles, We seek to conduct ourselves wisely still under the fear of the Lord, morally and uprightly. And yet we come into greater troubles through the evils of others and the lies and the deceits. They seem to have the power over us. But dear friends, even the wicked are in the hand of God. Yes, we know the ending from the beginning, but poor Joseph didn't, did he? And in our own circumstances, we do not know the ending from the beginning in the severe circumstances of troubles and difficulties. Joseph was put into the prison where the king's prisoners were bound. We do not know how long he stayed there. It was over 2 years. We know that. But for a season, he was there, and then the Pharaoh sent two of his servants there, for whatever reason, into the prison house. But there again in the prison, what did Joseph do? He conducted himself in the fear of the Lord. And the jailer even could trust him to take control and care of the prisoner. Joseph didn't try to escape. That would be our natural reaction, wouldn't it? To do whatever we can to escape from that prison and return to Canaan, as Joseph would seek to do. And there, somehow, under the Lord's word, his brothers would fall down before him when they saw him. But had they not thought they got rid of him? Oh, how the mind works, how the intellect works. Joseph submitted himself under the sovereign hand and will of God. Dear friends, the grace of resignation under such times as that is not easy. It's not in our nature, is it? Therefore, here is the evidence of the Spirit of God ruling in the heart and the mind, the being of Joseph in the times of adversity. And how we need to pray the same, don't we? Oh Lord, control my heart, control my mind. Do not let me advance myself beyond that which is thy will. Ways which seem right unto me to escape these terrible circumstances, these fears. Dear friends, if you have evidence of a child of God, the Lord has begun a good work in you. He has brought you into his tender fear. Then what does the Lord say? He says, fear not, I am with thee. Be not dismayed, I am thy God. I will help thee. But that help, dear friends, is of his sovereign ways. It might not be the help which we think ourselves, which we need immediately. Poor Joseph was not only a dreamer, he was an interpreter of dreams. And when the butler and the baker, we read, had those dreams in the prison, Joseph interpreted them to them. One very solemn, that the king would execute the one. And for the butler, he would be restored. And it came to pass, as Joseph interpreted by the Spirit of God. And so he said to the butler, remember me before the king, that the king may bring me also out of prison. Remember me. He'd been there now a couple of years at least. Dear friends, what a hope. What a glimmer of hope. What a light, we might say, at the end of a dark tunnel. That's how our intellect and our mind would work, wouldn't it? But the butler forgot Joseph. No doubt so enjoyed the liberty that again he was restored to the butler of Pharaoh. He forgot all about how he became to go there. All about Joseph. until the Lord brought the time to pass for Pharaoh to have a dream also. And when he dreamed about the seven fat cows and the seven lean cows and the seven lean cows eating up the seven fat cows, and they remain still lean and terrible, and the same thing with the ears of corn. No one could interpret those dreams. Of course they couldn't. The Lord wouldn't permit them to, would he? It was all in the Lord's hand for the butler now to remember Joseph, who could interpret dreams, and to be brought out of the prison at that time. In the morning, Joseph, in the prison house, bound with fetters and iron. But in the evening, their friends, the second in control of all the things of Egypt. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. But then the word of the Lord had still not come to pass. And there was going to be a number of years yet before it came to pass. Joseph now in great prosperity compared to his adversity, wasn't he? Second in command of Egypt, all at his command, all at his hand. And through the wisdom given him to him of God, obtaining all the wealth and the riches of Egypt for Pharaoh, and in preparation for the year of famine. Joseph, dear friends, did that which was expected of him under his earthly rulers. Whether he was under Potiphar, whether he was under the jailer, or whether he was now under Pharaoh directly, he behaved himself wisely and in the fear of the Lord. We don't read of any prayers of Joseph. None are recorded. But dear friends, to conduct himself like that through those years, when the word of the Lord tried him, there must have been many prayers gone up to the Lord. When wilt thou bring to pass that which thou hast promised? But it was a comfort to him. He believed that it would come to pass. The word of the Lord tried him. Dear friends, what faith, exercise of faith in God and in the word of God is shown in Joseph. It was another 7 years before his brethren came, wasn't it? The years of plenty through which they probably prospered as well in Canaan. For when the famine came, it affected Canaan as much as it did Egypt. And Jacob sent his sons down. And when Joseph saw his brethren, dear friends, he knew the time had come for the word of the Lord to be fulfilled. They would bow down before him. Now Joseph acted himself in an unusual way, we might say, where he made himself a difficult for them. But he knew their brother wasn't there. He knew that Benjamin wasn't there. He wanted to see his brethren. He wanted them all to come down. Wasn't the word of God all the brethren bowed down before him? How the Lord gave Joseph wisdom that the word of the Lord should be fulfilled. He didn't accept a shortness in the fulfilling of the word of God. He didn't accept just a part, a fulfillment of the word of God. The word of God had said all those brethren in the dream he'd had and the interpretation of it would come. So Benjamin must come as well. Oh, poor Jacob, his father. All these things are against me. but they weren't, were they? Now, friends, why did the Lord send Joseph down into Egypt? He sent a man before them, even Joseph. And the Lord spoken to Abraham many years earlier concerning Israel, the seed of Abraham. They would come and be subject to the Egyptians, subject to captivity for 400 years. And we have to look back, don't we, sometimes, at the word of the Lord, his revealed word, for what he has spoken shall come to pass. We don't bring it to pass ourselves, do we? But when things happen, oh, how good it is to look back, and look back in the word of God, to see why perhaps such matters are happening around us and upon us. Everything, dear friends, let us always remember this. Everything is subject to the Lord who still reigns. The Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble, says the psalmist. The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. For we wonder what's taking place today, don't we? With the virus, the pandemic throughout the world. Dear friends, we know, we believe the Lord has caused it to come. What the outcome of it will be, we do not know. But we read in the Word where the Lord has caused many a plague to come because of the sins of the people. Then how it should, we know not why, we don't know what will come to pass out of it, but where we read of these judgments of God, and where there is repentance and the pouring out of one's heart in humble confession of sin, the Lord is mindful to have mercy again. All these pandemics affect the Church of Christ, doesn't it? It isn't just the heathen, we might say, or the unbelievers and the atheists. Oh, maybe it'll bring some of those to repentance. But dear friends, we're not just to look at it and say, oh, well, I hope we shall be carried through and we'll come out the other side as when the virus came in the first place. Or we shall be happy to continue then as we once did before. Dear friends, it's to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt us in due time, and if the time comes when we are delivered from it, to come with truly thankful hearts like that tenth leper did, to give God the thanks. Dear friends, there's the ruling in the heart by the Spirit of God. There's the exercise of faith. Oh, trusting in the Lord, that he will, as we pour out our hearts before him in humble confession of our faith, that he will hear. To plead that word, if ye confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, let thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Poor Jacob. He was under a cloud, wasn't he? All these things are against me. But dear friends, we know they weren't. For when he reluctantly let Benjamin go, and Joseph saw his brethren and Benjamin, and oh, how he desired to keep Benjamin through putting that golden cup in the sack of when they were going to return back to Jacob. And so Benjamin was now to be kept and be kept as a slave. Oh, how it brought out that humble confession through the lips of Judah, of his brethren. How they confessed their sin of all this was upon them, they said, because of what they did to their brother Joseph. And his heart melted. Dear friends, what a type of Christ was Joseph, wasn't he? What grace he had toward those who had handled him so unjustly and unwisely. He made himself known to his brethren, having wept. Ye meant it for evil, God meant it for good. Ye did not send me down here, God sent me down here. Yes, he was sent a man before them, even Joseph. Everything was in the hand of God. And that word which the Lord had given to Joseph was fulfilled. And there was the unity. There was the bond of peace. But dear friend, what about Jacob? Wasn't he to bow down also from that second dream of Joseph? Send the wagons, go and fetch your father, bring him down, Joseph is yet alive. Dear friends, how these things all work together for good, didn't they? All work together also in accordance with the word of the Lord to Abraham. Now, dear friends, your circumstances, my circumstances, however mysterious they might seem to us, they are all under the hand of God. And if we fear God and we pray unto the Lord, seeking, oh, that he will lead us and guide us and help us and provide for us, then, friends, we have to be subject to the way he will bring that to pass, doesn't it, don't we? For his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. But, dear friends, it will be for good. It may not be entirely for our providential good, but it will be for our spiritual good. And the spiritual good, dear friends, that we shall know is an increase in our faith, an increase in our trust, an increase in our knowledge of God. Oh, how wondrously he works, and we are so unworthy of him. God moves in a mysterious way, and the clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break with blessings on your head. Oh, Jacob came to know the blessing, didn't he? His son Joseph he considered was dead, but no. Everything was working together. Where Joseph would not only see Jacob would not only see Joseph again, but even Joseph's children. Dear friend, what teaching there is, isn't there, in these things? What teaching there is to humble us under the mighty hand of God. Dear friend, we may have many matters upon us today. We don't know which way to take. Perhaps things have gone adversely against us. Perhaps more so during the course of the past week. And we wonder what a new week may bring before us in the coming days. Well, dear friend, let us remember Joseph. He came to a very, very low state. Attacked by his brothers. Sold into Egypt. Came down to be sold as a slave, and put in the prison. He came lower and lower and lower, you might say, in his experience. Things got more difficult, more remote from ever the being the blessing of God. But when his time came, dear friends, the Lord revealed his purpose, revealed his blessing. Like that word, isn't it, of Jesus, continuing in prayer. Shall not the Lord avenge his own elect that cry day and night unto him? Dear friends, I'm sure we can say Joseph cried day and night unto the Lord. He will avenge him speedily. Oh, how quickly it came when the Lord's time came. Now that's one of the things we have to wait for, isn't it? The Lord's time. When the Lord will, having heard the prayer, though he bear long with them, he carries with you in it, and he will carry you through it to the time when he will deliver you and avenge you speedily, and he will supply all your need. Now, dear friends, this God is our God, to be our guide even unto death. until the time that his word came. The word of the Lord tried him. Dear friends, have you got a word of the Lord that tries you? Perhaps one which the Lord gave you at the beginning, when he spoke to you in love and mercy. Maybe a word in answer to a prayer, some promise, something which you felt, yes, it's of the Lord. The Lord will do that which I have required of him. Oh, dear friends, the scripture says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. In his time, in his way, as we continue in prayer, he bearing long with us till the time when he sees fit, that the answer will come, and it will be to the glory of his name, the blessing of your soul. You will have grown in grace. You will have sat faith strengthened. Oh, Joseph's faith. Dear friends, I'm sure when he was second in command of Egypt, and his brethren came, and then his father came, oh, how he could rejoice in the Lord. His faith could see that he had helped him hitherto. He would help him all his journey through. And give him daily cause to raise new Ebenezers to his praise. Then, dear friends, trust in the Lord at all times. Although matters may seem to be against us, with God all things are for us, and nothing can separate us from that love. That love which has called you to believe in him, has given you that precious grace of faith, to trust in him at all times. That faith is tried. But dear friends, when you continue, when you endure, trusting in him at all times, as I've said, then the end will be everlasting peace, taken from time to eternity, when all the work the Lord had concerning you has been done. You will have been prepared for eternal life. The trial of your faith, that in that last day, as Peter had in that first epistle, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. The end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Then trust in him, dear friends, at all times. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Until his time came, the word of the Lord tried him. Dear friends, that trial you've got is for a purpose. For the glory of his name. Amen.